Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, joining you on this lovely Wednesday morning, June 12th. It's going to be a hot one today, as Matt Neely was letting us know. 108 degrees out there in the old Pueblo. I'm excited for it, though, quite frankly. As a restaurateur here in Tucson, I love the summertime. I know that's going to be weird to say, right? Because we, quite frankly, aren't as busy. There's not as much going on. But that's what makes it so great for me. We get the opportunity to work on our business, as opposed to necessarily in the business. I've got reupholstering plans coming. We've got new technology. We're working on new menus and new dishes, all kinds of fun stuff out there. And summertime makes me incredibly happy. I love the smell of the desert after a monsoon rainstorm, or even the feeling of the heat radiating up out of the red turf at, say, 7:30 p.m. when the sun finally loosens its fiery grip over the 520. It makes me pretty excited to be able to walk into Vivace on a Friday night and get a table at 8 p.m. There's no wait. There's not nearly as much traffic, and I am loving summertime. It is making me happy. Hopefully, you listeners are finding ways to keep yourself happy and things that are making you smile in Tucson. What else is getting me excited this week is the World Margarita Championships. Our 14th year here with the Southern Arizona Council of the Arts and Westward Look Resort, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. this Friday, June 14th. Our Reforma Modern Mexican will be competing against not only other restaurants from across the country, but across the world. And by that, I mean Sonora. But nonetheless, it is the World Margarita Championships coming up this Friday. On top of that, the service industry's got a lot of things to potentially smile about this week. The Tipped Worker Protection Act is going to get a vote from the Arizona Senate as possibly as early as this morning or this afternoon. I'm sort of eagerly waiting news on this one. For those that haven't been paying attention about what I've been harping about over just the last few months, there's been a number of ballot measures out there to potentially raise Arizona's minimum wage up to $18 an hour and eliminate the tip credit. Essentially, it's a platform out there led by unions from across the country to tax tipped wages. And they're warring a ballot initiative where they're paying for, or trying to pay for, over 300,000 signatures to put on your ballot in November a plan to raise Arizona's minimum wage within 2 years to $18 an hour. For those who've been keeping score on what the $20 an hour minimum wage does in California, it is already wreaking havoc on the service industry since its implementation on April 1st. Anecdotally, there are a number of fast food and full service restaurants beginning to both shut down their locations and curb any potential expansion in the state. And I worry very much that this is going to continue in the state of Arizona. And so what we've got going on is a Senate concurrent resolution that essentially would put on the ballot a codification inside of Arizona's constitution of the server wage, i.e. the delta between the full Monty minimum wage and what the servers make with tips. Now, again, it may sound kind of mean. Why, Grant, would you want to pay your servers less than minimum wage? Well, let me tell you, it's because they're doing quite fine in tips. And so if this passes today through the Arizona Senate, and I think we're within one senator of getting this across the finish line, this will end up for you, the people, to decide in November. And if it does, I'm going to do a whole show about tipping. I think I'm looking at right now, Tuesday, July 9th, we're going to be covering for General Ted Maxwell on the engagement hour. And we're going to do a little bit of engagement about tips. By then, we'll know whether this Raise the Wage AZ ballot initiative has gotten its signatures or not. And we'll know whether this Tip Worker Protection Act gets across the finish line or not. And when we have that information, we'll do a whole show about tipping. I'm going to give you a rundown of the history of tipping, of where it came from in the United States, where it is today. There's a lot of people out there not so happy about tipping, quite frankly, because there are a number of industries that are now asking for a tip that didn't in the past, right? Have you been asked for a tip at, say, the hardware store or your window tinter or some place where they happen to flip an iPad over in front of your face and say, hey, there's a little question waiting for you there at the end? And quite frankly, I think that that hurts us in some capacity in the full-service restaurant world, right? In a full-service restaurant, a server might touch your table on average 14 times. 14 times, from the greet to the take your drink orders, to the drop them back off, to the checking back and taking your order, dropping off your food, checking again between 2 minutes and two bites, clearing your plates, right? Offering you dessert, bringing the dessert by, bringing the check, checking back with you and processing that payment. 13 or 14 service experiences, and that's worth 20%. Maybe even more for some of you great tippers out there listening, and thank you very much if you are. But what about when you get to order at a counter where I had to wait in line by myself, right? And then if I wanted another drink, I had to get up and go get it my darn self. If I wanted dessert, nobody brought it to me. I had to go back up and get in line a third time. And is that worth 20%? And is that worth 20% at the beginning of your service experience as well too, right? In the traditional restaurant full service world where we operate in my businesses, that happens at the end. You, my listeners, become the judge, jury, and executioner of the service experience, and you get to vote with your tip at the end of the experience. And so the chronology of how all this lines up also is at play. And so I think we've got a really interesting topic that we're going to go at, looking like right now, Tuesday, July 9th, but we're going to wait on these ballot initiatives. Cross your fingers out there, service industry folks, today for your Arizona Senate to vote, hopefully in favor of Senate Concurrent Resolution 1040, which will no more than bring this to your ballot in November. Now, speaking of ballots in November, we're jumping Tucson over here, and I try to keep this local and related to the 520. But just on Sunday, I was getting some news from the Wall Street Journal about Donald Trump's appearance in Nevada. And when he spoke, he said that he would make tips in for all service industry workers, hotels, restaurants, right, in Nevada while he's speaking too. Mind you, a hotbed for service industry employees. He said he's going to change federal tax code and make tips pass through untaxable to the service workers. If that were to be the case, and I know that there's a lot of long-reaching implications about that one, but if that were to be the case, he would have the support of pretty much every service worker from here to Bangor, Maine, I would suggest, to make that one happen. He made that statement, and within minutes, I had a text from Congressman Juan Ciscomani saying, is this true? Is this gonna, like, what would this do to the industry? And again, I try to keep this local and not get on national politics, but oh my goodness, would this open up Pandora's box for the service industry? So if you're looking for something to make you smile out there, service industry folks, pay attention to this one, because that would be a game changer as well too. And we're gonna bring that topic back up in front of you after we learn about these initiatives, looking like Tuesday, July 9th. But when we come back after the break, I'm going to be talking a different kind of smile, not just what makes me smile here in the 520, but somebody that's doing it right with smiles in Tucson. I've got local dentist expert, like veneer expert, Sabino Hills Family Dentistry owner. He owns a Smile Trend as well too. He's taking dentistry to a new level nationally. We're going to meet with Dr. Michael Allen when we come up after the break on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m., The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Hey, welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. Thanks for spending part of your morning with us here on Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined today live in the Bustos Media Studios by Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. I'm super excited to be on here, and I'm really excited about this tip initiative because I'm going to change all of my fees over just to straight tips, and then at the end of your cleaning appointment, I'm going to flip an iPad over and be like, I just got a couple questions for you.
We could arrange that. You know, your hygienist might do pretty well over there. I know my servers and bartenders have done pretty well on that tipped arrangement. Hey, Michael, for the listeners that don't know who you are over here, like, we do a lot of stories about success on Jump in Tucson, right? Local business owners doing things right. And I've had the opportunity to know Michael for the last decade and watch his business grow into something really special, right? Michael has leveraged social media to the tune of 124,000 TikTok followers, 65,000 Instagram followers. Like, and we're talking dentistry over here. I don't have these kind of numbers from my restaurants that garner all kinds of earned media and press every day. Give us your backstory. How you doing this over here?
Well, dude, there could be nothing more boring to the average person than dentistry. Honestly, when you hear the word dentist, what do you think of? You think of, I'm stuck in a chair, some strange person is looking in my mouth, and they're telling me I got cavities, and they're telling me I got to spend some money to get this fixed. And why are teeth the most expensive bones in our body, right? Like, that's what you think of when you think of a dentist. And so we had to figure out a way to make what we do a little bit more interesting. And I found that bringing, like, personality and fun into the dental office, people actually want to see that. One of the big things in my brain is you want to see how the sausage is made sometimes. And not necessarily, we don't want to show all the, I don't know, the bad side of dentistry, because there is a definitely an uncomfortable side of dentistry, but we are showing how it can actually be fun, how it can be enjoyable, how the staff gets along together, and how we're able to create and change lives with beautiful smiles. My favorite thing to do, of course, is cosmetic dentistry. And I've gotten really heavy into that lately. And people can really relate to that, because you don't realize how much your smile is your signature. And so by bringing that to the masses on social media, we've been able to create a following. That with some minor controversial stuff here and there, of course.
Well, don't worry. We're no fear of controversy in the restaurant business as well, too, over here, right? Both industries that have taken quite a bit of hits from government officials over the last few years. You guys were wearing masks before it was cool, though.
Yeah. We're pretty much trendsetters in dentistry. But honestly, in a good way and a bad way is, I was already used to wearing a mask, but I hated wearing a mask outside of the office. For some reason, it's not a big deal for me to put it on when I'm seeing a patient. That just is something that we've always done. But then for me to go to the grocery store after that and feel like I had to wear a mask, like, that was just kind of ridiculous. However, I will say that the masks have been a blessing to dentistry somewhat, because if somebody knocks a front tooth out now, they can put a mask on. Nobody will think twice. They come to my office, we fix them up, no problem. So there is that aspect of hiding your smile a little bit that some people have found acceptable for super, super short periods of time.
No, a smile is such an important part of everybody's life, right? It is probably the most important tool that we bring to the table to work every day in the service industry. You'd be amazed at how many times I can work my way out of a situation that's pretty sticky with just a little bit of kindness and a smile. And so I think it's something that's highly undervalued, quite frankly, right?
Oh, I totally agree. Until the point that it's not. I had a young lady come into my office about a year or so ago, and she came in for a consultation for her smile, and I always ask the question. I say why now? Like, why do you come to me now to have your smile worked on? And she said, because I was looking at my wedding photos and I did not smile in any of them. And before that fact, it never had occurred to her that she was unconfident in her smile. But that one thing, looking at her wedding photos, made her realize that I need to do something to change this, because I don't want to live the rest of my life like this. And like you said, restaurant industry, that's huge. If you're greeted with a smile, and it doesn't have to be a perfect smile, but a genuine smile by your server or by the host or by the manager when they come around to ask if everything is going well, that kind of disarms and smooths over that situation just because you're smiling, just because you see that. And so it is a really big deal for people. And I feel like more people are realizing that the more selfies we take, the more social media we look at, is we want to have that confidence in our smiles. And that's the one thing that we're really proud to deliver to people.
So you're listening to Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry, here on Jump In Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. Michael, tell the listeners where your store happens to be located, for those that don't know.
So I'm located on the corner of Tankerville and Catalina Highway, right at the base of Mount Lemon. And we love it out there. It's just a beautiful area. That's the area that my wife grew up. And so when we were looking at places we started from scratch. We started with zero patients about 12 years ago. We're like, where essentially do we want to live? We were living in Sahuarita at the time, and anywhere in the Tucson area, we're like, that's the place that we want to be. And it's been very successful for us. It's an interesting area. People who live in Tanca Verde don't like to leave Tanca Verde. They're stuck in that little corner pocket over there. And so it's worked out really, really good for us. We're really blessed to have some of the best patients, I think, in Tucson. They're very loyal. They're very understanding. They claim they like the dentist. I think they're all lying to me, and that's okay. They tell me stories like, I didn't feel that needle, and I just have to laugh because I know that I've been shot many times, and that's okay. But we love it up in that area. But when I got out of dental school, I started practicing at a community health center. My goal was to help people, right? And so I started practicing down in Nogales, Arizona at the Mariposa Community Health Center. And that was a world of difference from where I'm at right now. I now currently do mostly cosmetic dentistry, but back when I got out of school, 17 years ago, I was doing a lot of little kids, a lot of extractions, helping people who were actually in pain and actually suffering because of their mouth. And that's a different kind of not smiling. When you're hurting and in pain, like, you'll do anything to get out of that pain, especially dental pain if you've ever had it. And so I made that transition to a private practice in cosmetic dentistry back in 2012 and have been out in that Tinker Verde area ever since.
That's a great area. That happens to be located right near where La Buzz Cafe is as well, too. A very popular staging ground for cyclists to caffeinate. But on their way up and down from Mount Lemmon, a really neat locally owned business over there in La Buzz as well, too. A great place for people to visit. And you've got a new neighbor popping up next door to you as well, too. It looks like the Fire Truck Brewing Company has closed down shop over there and sold that location. And there's a location called Ziggy's coming up. Is that opened yet?
Yeah, it just opened. I honestly haven't been over there yet. We are planning to have a meeting there next Tuesday, so I'm really excited to try it out and check it out. I don't know much about it, though. What do you know? Tell me what you know. I'm all about food.
I believe that's the owners of Jeff's Pub as well, too, in a partnership that's kind of expanding into a bigger, more visible location. So they certainly do have some restaurant experience, you know, restaurant and bar, kind of pub chops there. So I'm excited for that one to open up as well, too. It was sad to see the Fire Truck Brewing Company close. We've had Taylor Carter, the owner here on this show before, but it's part of the cycle of life sometimes in doing business, particularly in the city of Tucson. It can be tough, you know?
Well, we as in the medical field, probably every other business, we rely on restaurants more than you realize, because we have meetings there all the time. We're constantly meeting new employees. We'll take them to lunch. We provide meals for our staff and things like that. And so having good close by restaurants is actually quite an asset to any medical profession, or probably any profession out there. I know the real estate agents next to us do the same thing. Like you mentioned, I'm at La Buzz at least two or three times a week, mostly because I like their cinnamon rolls, but we're not going to talk about that because I'm not eating sugar right now.
Right. Yeah. You might not want to let the secret out over there, unless it's a self-fulfilling prophecy for additional work for you over there on the dental work side. But tell us a little bit more about that location. You chose to open up over there 12 years ago. I've had the pleasure of knowing you for about a decade now. Yep. My wife was actually one of your first dental hygienists as well, too.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. So I opened from scratch, like I said, and like I was I still am the most clueless business person ever. I surround myself with really good people who know what they're talking about. But I opened it, and for the first year or so, I did all of my own cleaning appointments, which is kind of unique. You don't see a lot of dentists doing their own cleaning appointments, but I couldn't justify the cost of a hygienist. And so I was interviewing for hygienist, and your wife, well, then she wasn't your wife, she was single at the time, she walked into my office, and I was going to choose between her and another girl. But what made her stand out is she, in between patients, she got up, she took the trash out for the assistants, she asked if she could help out, and she really went above and beyond. And I knew at that point, all right, if she can hustle like this, then she can help to take us to the next level. And that's exactly what every employer is looking for, is somebody who just goes that extra mile.
Without a doubt. We're all lucky to have our businesses really built on the backs of our good staff members as well, too. Like, this is something that we couldn't do without great crew, quite frankly. And when you're in the service industry, whether it's in the medical side of things or on hospitality, it's really the crew that makes it happen for all of us.
It really is. I mean, maybe I, being on Instagram and whatnot and social media, I get kind of all the praise, but I try to put my staff out there a lot. And sometimes I'll jokingly flame them like I might have yesterday, but most of the time it's out of love, and my staff knows it, and they get a kick out of it. Honestly, we'll talk about social media in a minute and how it actually brings your staff together and helps you build a better team and build a better culture in your office.
Yeah, I'd love to find a way to chat a bit more with you about that one. And because when we come back after this break, we're going to break down your success on social media, right? We're here on the radio, a traditional media source, right? One step above ye old newspaper, let's say. And we do a lot of work in the restaurant business on this, and we try to reach our guests with social media. And in my 14 or 15 years in the restaurant business, for all the success we've had, we've only reached a point where we've got 13, 14, 15,000 followers on Instagram, on Facebook, and only a modicum of success on TikTok. And these are for exciting businesses that bring in thousands of people every day. And somehow, Michael, you've taken dentistry, right? Something that not as many people get excited about, and turn this into six-figure followings on social media. And so when we come back after the break, we're going to explore why that is happening. So don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to Jump In Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk with Grant Kruger. Come back after the break. A little more with Dr. Michael Allen. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. Thanks for spending your morning with part of us here on Jump In Tucson, one of the newer shows on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. We've got Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance and Tom Moulton coming up on Thursday. Dr. Ed Ackerley on Fridays and Mondays. I'm going to pick up this upcoming Tuesday for the engagement hour for Ted Maxwell and have the Pima County Supervisor candidate J.L. Wittenbraker with me joining live to talk about her run for District 3 Supervisor and their previous run for Mayor of Tucson. That'll be coming up next Tuesday on Jump in Tucson. But right now we are live with Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry. Welcome back, Michael.
Thank you.
Hey, we were talking before the break about your success on social media and ways that you could take an industry like dentistry, which, you know, might get people as about as excited as a toothache over here, and find a way to garner hundreds of thousands of followers. Tell me how that works.
Well, so it's like pulling teeth, right? Advertising is like pulling teeth. But for reals, nobody actually gets on Instagram or social media to be sold anything, right? Like, I don't get on my Instagram feed to start scrolling and be like, what I can buy. Actually, maybe I have a couple of times because they know my algorithm, they know what I like, and so maybe that actually has happened. Don't tell my wife. But for the most part, you get on for two reasons. Number one, you want to be entertained, and number two, you want to engage or be social, right? Like, I feel like that's how social media started. Is everybody was social. Everybody was posting, this is what I had for dinner, and then somebody would say, oh, I love it, what's your recipe? And they would start to share things. And so when you're talking about putting your business online to garner social media followers, you got to think, okay, well, I've got to somehow fulfill those needs. I have to either engage with them or I have to entertain them, and then maybe they will follow me. And so I started out by just posting kind of family stuff here and there, and that obviously wasn't benefiting me at all. And then I started to post before and after pictures of like smiles that I would do. And really, nobody cares about that. Like, my mom would like it. My wife would comment on it. And maybe your wife would say, good job, Doc. That's
she's,
awesome.
She's got our back, you know?
Yeah, she does. And I am thankful for people like that, for friends who do that, because it actually helps the algorithm a little bit. But then I realized, all right, we got to entertain somehow. We've got to find a way to mix dentistry with entertainment. And that's not super easy because there's really not much entertaining in the space. So come around about 2019, 2020, my kids were on TikTok, right? And so I started kind of following what they were doing. They have these things called trends, which is pretty much everybody just copying everybody. And so my daughter asked, she was like, hey, you should do this trend. I'm like, well, what even is it? And it essentially was a clip of music where everybody would jump out to at a certain point in the music and then just start to dance, like really silly. And I'm not a dancer, even though I do go to the Maverick at least every Wednesday night and watch my wife line dance. I'm not, definitely not a dancer.
I can confirm the accuracy of that statement right over
I've seen
here
you
for
there
our listenership.
Times.
Yes, sir.
Go to the Maverick tonight. It'll be a great party. I'm there almost every Wednesday night. Anyway, so I posted just that simple trend, and all of a sudden it got like 100,000 views on it. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Do you know how much money I would have to pay as a dentist to get 100,000 people to see my stuff? Like, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You can't do that. And so my brain got spinning there and think, okay, if I can entertain to garner followers and then post some before and after pictures, and then what happens is they'll go to your profile and they'll look at that and be like, oh, this guy's actually funny, or this guy, we have this in common. Oh my gosh, he can do really good cosmetic dentistry too. I've always wanted to get my smile fixed. That's how I've kind of figured it out. And not only that, so once you entertain, people will reach out to you or they'll comment on something and they want to know that their comment means something. Probably like when a caller calls into a radio show, they want to be acknowledged, right? Kind of the same thing. And so by simply acknowledging their comment, responding to it, or if they DM you, DM them back. Or if they follow you, just send them a quick message. Hey, are you following me because I got great hair? Because you're interested in teeth. I mean, just something silly like that. It like breaks down the barrier and gets them somewhat interested in you as a person or as your business as an actual physical thing and not necessarily like the scary dentist. It just breaks down the barriers a little bit. And so those are like the two big parts of social media, is getting that engagement and getting that entertainment. And once you got that, like the world is your oyster, because you'll start to get more and more followers. Let's talk restaurant industry. It's really easy to post a picture of some really nice, what's your favorite dish? Let's go chicken and waffles, right? Like, I love that. And so it's great to post that picture, but that doesn't really entertain or engage many people, right? But when you have the chef throwing the chicken in the flour mixture, popping it in the fryer, putting the waffle mix in the waffle maker. It kind of shows in a small way, it entertains people that they will look at it and engage, and their mouth will start watering because they saw the whole process. And so it's just kind of figuring out things that people actually want to see when they're scrolling on Instagram, not necessarily what you want them to see. Does that make sense?
It does. I can understand that. But how do you turn them into customers as well, too? If you have a million followers, but they're in the Sichuan Peninsula of China, they're not necessarily going to come to Sabino Hills Family Dentistry or Union Public House. Like, how do you turn those viewership into customers as well, too?
That's the craziest thing. Honestly, this has blown my mind. So like I said, you'll do the entertainment, you'll engage with them. Then you also have to have the social proof. So you have to have other people that you've done their smiles, doing testimonials or showing pictures of smiles that you did. And for some reason, people will build trust in you just by following you on Instagram. Just in the last week alone, I had a patient fly in from Indiana, a patient fly in from LA, and then the week before that, I had a patient come over from El Paso, all for me to do their smiles. I'd never met them before. I've only talked to them on social media. We were able to gather records from other dental offices, and they came in. We did veneers on them. Some did 10 veneers, some did 24 veneers, and it's just amazing how much trust social media will build because they feel like they know me as a person. And I always ask them, I always say, was I what you expected? Because I want to make sure that I'm real. I don't want to be fake. Like, if you're fake on Instagram, if you're fake on social media, people can sniff that out really, really quickly. And so I was asking, was I what you expected? And they're like, yeah. And then they always ask me, was I what you expected? And for the most part, they are. But that's why I think it's important that social media is social and that it's real. Anybody can Photoshop a beautiful smile on a beautiful girl. But to show it in real life and then to engage and build trust with that patient is a different world. So that's how we do it, is we'll about every fourth or fifth reel that I put out, or fourth or fifth TikTok that I put out, will be something dentistry related, very heavily dentistry related. Most of my stuff is lightly dentistry related, but maybe more so showing our staff. But clinical is about every fourth or fifth post. And that's why how they see, okay, this guy has a personality and he can do really good dentistry.
Well, we're getting a business lesson over here in social media by Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry. But you've got more going on, Michael, than just Sabino Hills. Your career path has taken you now to a group called the Smile Institute and Smile Trend. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so Smile Trend was something I love. And one of the reasons I love social media so much is I like people. And just like you do, Grant, you're always talking to people in the restaurant, right? And that kind of gets you going and makes you excited and makes your work, honestly, more fun when you get to meet new people and interact with new people. And one of the things I've always loved doing is teaching. And as I've kind of made my way into cosmetic dentistry, I realized, all right, I know all of this stuff. I'm not fantastic at it. Like I'm pretty darn good, but I'm not like the best of the best. But I realized that I will learn more from teaching people how to do it than just by reading a book or looking at videos. And so I had done enough cases where I was very confident in what I was doing, and I got a bunch of people on Instagram, on social media, to say, hey, how do you do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? Are you ever gonna have a class? And so I thought, hey, this is a no-brainer, let me have a class. And so I held my first class in my partner James Heaton's office up in Chandler. We had a couple of, we had about 10 dentists there. And then my partner comes up to me, he's like, all right, this is ridiculous. We could do this together. And so we founded an institute called Smile Trend Institute. It's a learning institute for dentists to learn how to take their private practices and insert cosmetic dentistry into that so that they can deliver very, very high level cosmetic dentistry to their patients. And it's been wildly successful and tons of fun. Like I really look forward to doing it. My wife knows that I love it so much that I'm doing it almost every day on my phone, on social media. I'm constantly talking dentistry, and it really is exciting to me. It really, really is. And I'm super nerdy. That's how come. But I do enjoy doing it. And the Smile Trend Institute has been very successful. And our goal is to not only teach dentists how to do that, but that way it affects so many more lives than we could affect just in our own practices.
And that's amazing, Michael. You are truly helping turn those frowns upside down and making smiles here happen in Tucson. And I commend you for that. Your business success is really something tremendous to see over here over this last decade, that now not only are you getting patients on a national level, but you're teaching on a national level as well too. All from like a small family dentist practice that started right off of Catalina Highway in Tanga Verde over here. And you're touching people on a national level. Hundreds of thousands of people all over the country. Like, that's pretty amazing stuff, my friend. We've got one more segment with Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry, when we come back after the break. Thanks for spending your morning with us on Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger. You're live on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, 520. Thanks for listening to Jump In Tucson with your host, Grant Kruger. We are live with Dr. Michael Allen, owner of Sabino Hills Family Dentistry. And he has been giving us a masterclass in social media about ways to make this a little more effective than just still pictures of food for your restaurants, or even still pictures of a smile or an improvement for your dentistry plans over here, making social media and dentistry fun. Michael, welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, so we were talking about ways to engage the staff in social media as well, too, to get them involved. Can we return back to that topic here in our last segment? And can you expound upon that a little bit more for our listeners?
Yeah, I follow a lot of meme pages. I don't know if everybody knows what a meme is, but essentially, it's like modern jokes. And one of the common trends on it is how much people hate their jobs and how much they would rather sleep in, or do I actually have to wake up to go to work today, or are we working today? Just this, things like that. And so to be an employer and make people enjoy coming to work is difficult. And so one of the things that I've found that really bonds the staff together and helps them enjoy their job is getting them engaged in social media videos. And that's not always easy at first. Everybody's a little bit hesitant. Everybody's reluctant to be on screen. But when they see themselves going viral, like, that's a really big deal for them. I've got videos out there with millions and millions of views that the staff are still proud about. They will get people asking them when their friend from high school who lives in California text messages them and say, "Hey, I saw you on social media." That's a big deal for them. And it's a big deal for me too, because that tells me how much reach I actually have. And so what I'll do is sometimes I'll have them come up with ideas, or sometimes I'll come up with ideas to involve them. For instance, the other day, this was a trend that we were doing, is you kind of stitch a video that has a guy cutting up a coconut, and out of that coconut, water comes out of the coconut. And then you cut to a picture of, the trend is you cut to a video of you and one of your staff members is throwing water on you, just kind of as a funny thing. Well, we decided to take that to the next level and put some dentistry in it. And so instead of water coming out of the coconut, it was Listerine. And then I pretended to get angry at that staff member because she had Listerine and not water in it. And it burned my eyes. And then I washed it out with Liquid Death, which is the water that I tend to drink, that or Evian. I'm a water snob. Anyways, so I had two staff members kind of starring in that video, and it got, I mean, it's got over 1.5 million views between the two platforms. And what that did for her is made her excited to do it again. And everybody was excited. Hey, did you see Allie on that? And people would reach out to her. And so it really allows the staff to grow together. I mean, when you work together towards anything and are successful, I feel that grows staff. But then when other people can see it and enjoy it, that takes it to a whole nother level. And that's a lot of fun.
I think that's a really amazing business hack that you've got over here, a great life tip for those entrepreneurial listeners out there about ways to get the staff involved in your outreach and in your media, because the staff generally isn't going to be as involved in traditional media, right? Like a print ad, a television ad, even, sorry, Bustos Media, a radio ad out there as well too. But, and so in social media, this is something you can get your staff, particularly younger staff as well too.
Patients love it when you get the staff involved, especially patients who are coming from out of state. They all know my staff. They know Jose. They know Allie. They know Celine. They know Raquel. They know all of my staff. And so when they come into the office, it's very familiar to them. And same in the restaurant industry. If they know who the server is, who the host is, then they're gonna feel welcome as soon as they get there.
No, that's a really important detail, right? That personal connection is how you differentiate yourself from a sea of competitors out there. And certainly the dental arena, although I'm no expert, has got to have an awful lot of competitors in the same way a restaurant business does as well, too.
Tons and tons of competition. But you know what? I honestly don't even see it as competition, because there's so many good dentists out there. If you're comfortable where you're at, stay there. But if you're not, there's a ton of places that you can go. And really, the more you see competition, I feel like, the more you're kind of pigeonholing yourself. As you get out in the dental community especially, and you start helping other people like we are with Smile Trend Institute, like, it blesses everybody's lives. The rising tide raises all ships. And so if you can build that positive kind of mindset in dentistry or whatever profession that you're in, the more you're going to benefit from it. And that happens 100% of the time. And I've seen that come back 1,000-fold in my life by helping other people. I get more and more blessed, which is wonderful. I love it.
That's part of the reciprocity on that. Life isn't necessarily a big vending machine like karma that you do good deeds and it just instantly pays you back. But I do believe that there's something out there, like a higher purpose, that really helps us when we help out others. And it's something that I believe that we've done in the hospitality business. And it's neat to see you doing that one as well, too. In your practice, is there any plans for growth over here? I mean, you've got Sabino Hills Family Dentistry, you've got the Smile Trend Institute, and you're teaching people nationally about cosmetic dentistry. Like, what are your plans for the future?
Well, that's a great question, because my brain is so jumbled with ideas all the time that I'm not quite sure how to put them in order for growth. But we are very fortunate. We had a new dentist come on that kind of frees up time for me. Her name is Dr. Tori Dixon, and she is an excellent general and soon to be cosmetic dentist. Patients love her. Honestly, I get a little bit jealous, because our patients come in and then they leave and say, I don't ever need to see you again. I'm like, oh, great. That makes me feel really, really good. But I'm actually very happy about that, because that tells me that I hired the right person. She's taking good care of my patients. Ultimately, they're patients that we brought in. And so I plan to use that free time to work on the Smile Trend Institute. Lux Veneers is another brand that I've started with my business partner, which we're bringing ultra, ultra beautiful and ultra thin veneers to people who don't want their teeth ground down. So now you don't have to have your teeth even shaved a little bit to get veneers. At least some people are a candidate for that. And so that's been another beautiful project that we're working on right now. And we have a couple other things in the works. But as far as dentistry, I don't ever want to have one of those huge dental offices where it can't be personal. Dentistry is a very intimate profession, and we want it to feel comfortable. And I feel like by getting 35 different dentists in and out all the time, I feel like that ruins dentistry a little bit. The corporations have kind of ruined dentistry, whereas I want to keep it private. I want to keep it family oriented. I want everybody who comes in my office to feel welcome, like they're part of my family, and that's what it should be.
Well, your business is certainly growing, sir, and for that, I salute you. To all our entrepreneurs out there in Tucson, making it happen, right? In business, employing people, getting things done over here. We've only got a couple minutes left in this segment. Give us the plug over here. Give us the pitch. Where can we find you?
So probably the easiest place to find me is on Instagram. As my kids and my wife will attest to, I'm on it way too much, but that's what brings me in business. And so that's a very big part of my marketing. And so you can find me at Dr. D-O-C-T-O-R Michael Allen. And you'll see me. You'll see the real me on there. Yes, I'll post up photos of befores and afters. Yes, I'll post up beautiful smiles, but I'll also post up just videos of me talking. You'll see my family. You'll meet my family. You'll meet my dogs that I don't love. I don't love dogs, but they love me for some reason. You'll see me tonight at my wife's birthday party at the Maverick, which we're there all the time. And you'll see my staff as well. And so you'll kind of get an idea as to how I do it. And it's real. None of it's fake. So that's the best way to get a hold of me. And really, look at your smile. If you're covering your face when you're smiling, or if you're lip smiling, let's talk. It's really easy to talk to people about their smiles and getting confidence in their smile.
No, I know this is a radio show out over here, but Dr. Allen, you got a great smile. And I think Tucson is out there smiling because you're here making things happen as well, too. We really appreciate you taking the time to come on Jump In Tucson today and share your story, giving us a real master class in ways that you've grown, not just the social media presence of your business, but your staff engagement and community engagement as well, too. It's fantastic. I really appreciate you joining us on Jump In Tucson. Again, tomorrow on Jump In, we've got Tom Moulton, Southern Arizona Attraction Alliance, Dr. Ed Ackerley coming up on Friday. We appreciate you spending your morning commute with us on Jump In Tucson. Maybe you'll see Matt and I at the World Margarita Drinking Championship this Friday at Westward Look. He will definitely have a big smile going on over there, maybe with a salted rim around that glass. Thank you for joining us on Jump In Tucson. Listeners, and Michael, thank you again, sir.
Appreciate you.
You're listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Dennis Breger coming up next.